British Spy Stories, Season 2, The Kill Order. Episode 20. Gabby shows the passport bearing the name Erica Muller to the woman at the desk, who vaguely nods her through. The taxi drops her on Krizze Malitze, as it's the closest a car can get, to Florin Barbu's grand offices, in the middle of the pedestrianised streets of central Belgrade. Gabby walks with her wheeled suitcase, wearing more of Erica's wardrobe, a blue suit, Roger Vivier flats and Yves Saint Laurent sunglasses pushed up on her head. The grand entrance to the office building is all glass and steel. Gabby walks to the doors and they open automatically. Inside there's a vast marble reception desk and a beautiful young woman sitting behind it. She greets Gabby in Serbian, but Gabby replies in German, and the woman responds in kind. When Gabby says she's here to see Florin, the woman stops briefly and looks over Gabby's clothing. She lifts the handset on the desk phone and calls Barbu's assistant. Gabby ascends in the lift to the top floor, then walks towards what seems to be the main hub of the offices. The place has subtle lighting and enormous flower arrangements in almost every corner. One of the secretaries asks if she can help, then indicates Barbu's secretary at the far end. Gabby approaches and is asked to wait in one of the designer armchairs nearby, as Mr. Barbu will be a few minutes. Florin appears out of the lift and makes his way towards Gabby. He starts to smile 5 seconds before they shake hands, and doesn't lose the smile all the way through the initial greetings and offers of coffee. They move into his office and he indicates one of two leather swivel chairs placed by the end window. After coffees arrive and are placed on a square table between them, Barbu finally sits down, picks up one of the cups and takes a sip from it, then talks about Belgrade and how it's changed since his childhood. Eventually, he seems happier to get down to business.
"Did we manage to progress our plan?" he says. "I know where Jacob is, Florin."
His years of negotiating both clean and dirty money deals have given him a smooth air, and he gives nothing away in his facial muscles when she gives him the news that he has wanted to hear for 4 years. He only says, "And where is that?" She smiles. "I'm happy to take you there, but on the condition of the arrangements we discussed."
"Of course."
He takes another sip.
"I need to have the deal paperwork signed before we can get anywhere near your son," she says.
"I need to see him first."
Gabby starts to stand up.
"Wait, Erica."
She stops and makes a show of sitting back down.
"How do I know you're being honest?"
"I have evidence."
She opens her bag, pulls out a photograph taken with a long lens of Irina and Jacob, and offers it to Barbu.
"Taken 2 days ago."
He looks at the photograph.
"My boy,"
he says softly.
"Where is this?"
She says nothing. He looks at her, and she can see sadness in his eyes for the first time. Without any further words, he gets up and walks to the door. He leans out and says something in Serbian to his secretary, then returns.
"I've asked for the papers to be drawn up. My chief counsel will be here in a minute."
"Thank you,"
she says.
"How did you find him?"
"Friends of friends, Florin,"
she says.
"Talking of friends, I was asking some of my contacts about you. But no one seems to know you."
"In your network?"
she says.
"That doesn't surprise me. My introductions into Berlin for you are going to take you to a whole other level."
"But no one has heard of you, Erica."
He stresses the point.
"What are you saying, Florin?"
It just doesn't make sense.
Maybe they lied to you,
she says.
I do pay good money to keep my profile as low as possible.
The office door opens and a large man enters, who Babu introduces as his legal counsel, and who he instructs to start preparing the papers needed to transfer half of the Belgrade operations into a shell company. The lawyer is understandably shocked, but doesn't make much of a fuss, as he knows that Babu is a violent man, and the lawyer has a family to look after. Even though Babu has many legitimate businesses in Belgrade, the lawyer is fully aware of the black money that launders through the accounts from a broad range of income streams. After the discussion, the lawyer retreats to get his team working on the papers, and Babu turns to Gabby.
When do we go to see the boy?
We can take you initially just to look from a distance. But we'll need all of the papers signed before you can take possession of the goods, she says.
He nods.
Your flight to Minsk. We'll pick you up in a van at the airport. You'll be blindfolded throughout the rest of the journey, she says. I'm not taking any risks.
After Gabby has left the building, Babu calls two of his directors into the office. These men are the two who deal more with the dark side of his operations. The three of them have known each other since they were teenagers, selling pills in the clubs of Belgrade. Babu tells them about what is planned, and they decide to send a dozen of their men immediately to Minsk to provide surveillance before Babu arrives. The two directors leave to organize the people and guns that will be needed. The keys in the cell door wake Ella, and she immediately sits up on the wooden bench that is covered by a thin mattress. A large female policewoman comes in and inspects the tray of food that had been left for Ella's breakfast.
You should eat, my darling,
she says.
Not hungry? You young girls.
The woman shakes her head.
Anyway, you got a visitor.
The policewoman goes out and Marjorie appears in the doorway with a perfectly composed face of concern. She walks over, sits down next to Ella, and hugs her.
How are you?
She says, pulling back to look at Ella's face. Ella looks down at the floor. Her eyes are red from crying last night.
I didn't kill him.
I know. Causing Ella to look up at her, seeking more.
Do you know anything about it?
Says Ella.
About the murder?
Moldovan agents found out he'd leaked information, I would guess.
Can you tell that lot outside?
Ella nearly shouts, raising her arm and pointing to the cell door.
They think I did it.
They don't.
What do you mean?
They just need to be seen to be covering their asses, says Marjorie.
I can get you out.
She keeps looking at Marjorie after the woman has finished speaking.
You didn't have anything to do with this, did you? I wouldn't cooperate, so you punish me. Is that it?
I'm here to help you.
Ella takes a large breath with wet eyes.
When do I get out?
I've already spoken to the commissioner. They know the procedures for dealing with security-related crimes, says Marjorie. There are some papers to be filled in and presented to a closed court before a judge. Rodney's doing that now. You'll be home today.
I'm not going home.
Where then?
I don't know.
You can stay with me in St. John's Wood, says Marjorie.
Ella looks glumly at the floor.
I can make sure these events are wiped from your personal file.
No! No more secrets. No more wiping records. No more bloody favours.
Then your career's over.
I don't fucking care. Don't throw it away.
A silence pushes back against them. Then Marjorie says,
"You've got my number. Call me when you get out."
Ella shivers as she walks down the steps outside Wimbledon Police Station, and for a good 10 seconds, just stands and takes in her surroundings. She feels tired and ready to sleep for a week, after 24 hours of not knowing if it was day or night. She is still wearing the clothes that she was in when she arrived yesterday, because no one came to give her any new ones. She buttons up her jacket to hide Stefan's blood that still stains the shirt she wears. She looks at the phone in her hand and launches a taxi app. She fills in the destination and orders the car. Within 2 minutes, a red Toyota pulls up next to her, and she clambers in. It's just after 7 p.m. when she arrives at a hotel, and a doorman opens the door for her. The reception is a mass of silver and white lights that cluster star-like around the ceiling. At a circular reception desk, two neatly suited staff type on their computer keyboards. Ella asks about a resident. Her uncle, she says it is. The woman behind the desk is a model of understated pleasantness, as she puts a call through to one of the rooms. But there's no answer. Ella's eyes are red from lack of sleep, and her makeup is long wiped off from the tears of the last 24 hours. The woman looks pitifully at her for a second and suggests her uncle might be in the restaurant. Ella walks towards the shiny door. The restaurant is a quarter full. The windows along two walls show gardens, expensive water features, and advanced topiary. Ella mentions who she's looking for, and the waiter knows him. She is led to a man sitting at a table on one side of the room. As Ella and the waiter approach, the man looks up.
"Hello, Ella. Have a seat."
"Thank you, Sir Bernard," she says.